This is Jeff Linder, head men's basketball coach of the University of Wyoming Cowboys, and you're listening to The Whole Show on 1310 KFKA.
Talking a little Mountain West football, there were a few games last weekend, and who better to do that with than Jesse Kurtz, lead anchor for the Mountain West Network. Jesse, it's been a little while, my friend, but always love talking about this conference with you.
Brady, I thought you lost my number, man. It's good to talk with you.
Never, man, never. Just waiting to get all these schedules lined up till we have some football. And, I mean, it was a pretty good weekend other than for Hawaii, of course, but Fresno State. And I don't care if UConn's having a down year. We don't know what their football program's doing. If you beat a team by 45 points, you got to feel pretty good about yourself.
Well, not only that, you shut a team out.
Yeah. I mean,
and they scored in all kinds of different ways, through the air, on the ground, defensively. Look, Fresno State is one of those, I think, sleeper teams that maybe has been glossed over a little bit with the rise of Nevada and what's expected out of that team this year. And all accolades certainly are well-earned for Jay Norvell and the folks up in Reno. But Fresno State's going to be a sneaky team. Jake Haner, the transfer a couple of years ago, came over from Washington, had a really good year last year, another year under his belt in DeBoer's system. He's a really good quarterback, certainly a guy that at the end of the season, if he was picked first-team All-League, I don't think anyone would be shocked. There are other guys that are in that conversation, maybe ahead right now, but it wouldn't shock you if Jake Haner had that type of year. You've got, you know, arguably one of the best running backs, maybe the best dual threat running backs in the country or in the Mountain West in Ronnie Rivers, just set a school record, broke his dad's records left and right. And then Jalen Cropper is as good of a downfield threat as a wide receiver that you're going to find in this league. And they've always had really good defense, and they do again. So I don't think that it was a shocker that Fresno State won, but the way that they won in the dominating fashion in 120-degree heat on the field,
oh my goodness,
that was pretty impressive. There's no question about it. And don't be shocked if Fresno State is right there at the end of the season in the West Side.
I mean, I was thinking those cleats were going to just melt off at
right?
some point, how hot that was. That was insane.
Well, you know, it kind of reminded me, not to get off track here, but the stadium opener in Fort Collins against Oregon State. I remember standing on that field. I left that game with legit heat stroke. And it was over 120 degrees because it was like mid 90s in the air, which was, you know, hot to begin with, but then it just radiates off the turf. It was 120 plus on the turf. That's some pretty dangerous
yeah.
temperatures to deal with and adversity to get through, and Fresno State dealt with it very, very well.
Yeah, and that's the question, too. Mountain West fans, even Fresno State fans, saying, okay, they did it. You know, you can only do what's in front of you. They took care of UConn, shut them out, scored 45. So, and you're thinking they could be the real deal this season.
Yeah, and that side of the Mountain West this year, I don't think you'd get many arguments that is the stronger side. And if you would ask me before last week, I thought that there were five teams that legitimately, you know, could be there at the end to represent the West Side in the Mountain West Championship game. Obviously, Nevada is who they are. They've got an incredible offense coming back. They're the leaders in the clubhouse. San Jose State has something to say about that, right? The defending
yeah.
division champions, defending Mountain West champions, have a lot of guys back. They'll be in the mix. Fresno State flex their muscles. Oh, by the way, there's the mainstay in San Diego State. They're not going away anytime soon. I would have said, it wouldn't shock me if Hawaii was there. They've got, you know, arguably the best offensive threat in the league in Calvin Turner. That guy is amazing no matter where you put up. A veteran quarterback. They got some work to do, clearly, after getting bounced at UCLA 44-10. So I may backtrack that they're in that mix.
Yeah.
But they have the pieces to be a solid football team. Are they going to be elite? Of course not. But, you know, don't be shocked if Hawaii bounces back in some way.
Well, and you wonder, too, how, you know, if UCLA, I've heard some good things about UCLA that, you know, this could be a really positive year, too. So you take that. And again, you know, how much do you take week one? Even like you said, Fresno State, still Fresno State Bulldogs fans, don't get your championship tickets just yet. But still, week one, you kind of take the good with the bad, I suppose. So if you're a Hawaii fan, the sky's not necessarily falling, but there's definitely reason to be concerned. You want to see how they follow it up the next week.
Yeah, no question. They've got Portland State. So on paper, and that's a dangerous statement, right? On paper, they should be able to get the pieces in order. And I've heard where Hawaii had a bunch of issues, COVID-related issues, where they didn't have full practices. A lot of the starters missed a lot of time leading up to. Certainly, it is an excuse, but it is the world in which we live, so you just kind of deal with it and you continue to plow through. So they dealt with some issues going into that UCLA game as far as preparation goes. But to your point, it's a new week. It's only 1 week. You still have many, many games to go. You still have all conference games to go that you could put yourself where you want to be at the end of the year. And, oh, by the way, you got Portland State coming to the islands this week, so certainly a chance to get right for Todd Graham and company.
So how good? Let's switch over to San Jose State. That's the team. I know for CSU fans listening, that's their first. That's the Rams' first conference game is against San Jose State. And you look at Nick Starkel. I mean, pretty nice game. About 400 yards, four touchdowns. Again, Southern Utah. We get it. It's an FCS school. It's a Big Sky Conference school. But again, you only play the people that are in front of you. And when you beat a team 45-14, all right, we handled that one about as well as we could.
Well, this is a team that has a chip on its shoulder. They don't think that they got the respect that they think they deserved off of last year. And the guy who's leading that charge is Nick Starkel, the quarterback, who had a sensational year last year, transferring from Arkansas and really settled into Brent Brennan's system. And Nick told me last month when we were chatting about, you know, how do you keep the hunger. I mean, he was kind of downright pissed off that they're not the prohibitive favorite. Like, obviously, Nevada was the team that was picked, and here they are saying, we've got our quarterback back, we've got an all-Mountain West caliber tight end back. They do have to replace some pretty good receivers that ended up leaving the program in search for, you know, NFL opportunities, but their defense is absolutely solid, led by Cade Hall and Fajoco, and their defensive front is really big time. So it's a team that really has a lot to prove, and Brent Brennan, you know, made the comment that nobody cares about last year. Like, literally nobody cares outside of this program or inside of this program. They're out to prove it again. So they'll have a big hill to climb this weekend. They're at USC, so we'll find out real quickly, you know, where they are. Do I expect them to go in the Coliseum and push the Trojans around? Of course not. If they keep that game close, that's somewhat of a victory, I suppose. I mean, could they go in and upset it? Why not? But we'll find out a little bit more about San Jose State this week than maybe we saw last week against Southern Utah.
Yeah, I'll be curious to see how they progress throughout the season. Another big one coming up tomorrow night, starting this week off the right way in all of college football, not just the Mountain West Conference, but Boise State and UCF. That is going to be a perfect way to start your college viewing this weekend.
Yeah, this is the game that we've all wanted for a long time, right?
Yeah.
I mean, these two teams, if you're going to identify two teams from separate conferences, now, you know, there's been other teams that have played really well, the Cincinnati's of the world, but if you're looking at two teams over the better part of a decade on opposite ends of the country that have been the teams, the programs in the group of five, everyone wanted to see UCF, Boise State duke it out. Would I like to see Boise State and UCF play at their height? Yeah. You know, Boise State right now, maybe not the team that they were in 2014 yet. UCF is not the team that they were in 2017 or 18. But to put these two programs for bragging rights that have kind of been chirpy at each other, their fan bases, for a long time, you're right. This is the way to kick it off on Thursday. National spotlight, one of the few games that's out there at that time, 5 o'clock Mountain Time, to see Andy Avalos with his debut coming home. The favorite son, he was a whale of a linebacker at Boise State and then a heck of a defensive coordinator before he departed for Oregon for a couple seasons and come back. You know, this will be fun. I'm excited to see what Boise State has at full strength, because them, just like everybody else, certainly was decimated by COVID-related problems related to depth chart and starters and the whole bit last year.
I'll be curious to see what this Boise State team is about, because you just mentioned it with the coaching change, of course. You wish you obviously look over at the other side, Brian Harsin over at Auburn there with Mike Bobo as his offensive coordinator. That's an interesting dynamic that I'd love to.
You're not joking. You're not joking.
They must have became best buddies in those games back and forth. CSU couldn't beat them, but you know there was something there. We know Bobo's a good offensive coordinator, but that's interesting. It's year one. The transition's always, you know, how much of a change will we see in year one as far as the scheme and everything? But what are your thoughts there? I mean, I know they're set with that quarterback position at least, and how similar or how different will this team be from Broncos teams in the past?
Yeah, it's going to be similar because there's a Boise State way, and guys who have come up through the program, i.e. Brian Harsin, right, came up through the program, player, assistant coach, the whole bit. Andy Avalos, player, assistant coach, now head coach. There's a way of doing things. But I will tell you this. What Andy Avalos has brought to that program is some new energy. And Brian Harsin became very big in Boise, and it was his way. Andy Avalos has empowered many of those players, if not all those players, to have a voice. And not that he doesn't push those players, because if you ever watched Andy Avalos, you watch the tape of the way that guy played, he was an animal. And he's brought that same level of excitement, that same level of energy into the locker room, and by all accounts, the players love it. He's definitely a player's coach. Now, sometimes that backfires on you, right? But there's a way that they've always done things, and they'll continue to do it that way. My one concern for Andy Avalos, who I've known for a long time, dating back to when he was a grad assistant for Dan Hawkins in Boulder. He lived on the Front Range for a couple years, and I met him for the first time in 2006. I worry about the schedule. I mean, he's biting off, in his first year, the toughest schedule that team, that program has faced in a long time. I mean, you open up, you got Central Florida. That's obviously no joke. You have a game against UTEP, but then you got Oklahoma State. You've got Nevada. I mean, you could easily see them right out of the gate kind of stumbling through no fault of anybody's, than just a brutal schedule. Got BYU, too, before things loosen up, so to speak. So I hope that people stick with the program and stick with Andy up there while they navigate what is a brutal start to the year, because I do think Andy Avalos brings a lot to Boise State, and it means a lot to him. But, boy, he's biting off a lot here early.
Yeah, either way you slice it, Boise State's just always so interesting, even when, you know, they move on from a legendary coach, too. You're right, Avalos will be certainly be a story to follow. Okay, South Dakota State, Colorado State. Now, I saw a bunch of people saying the Rams were dogs. I finally see the line. They're favorites, but not by much. Going up against, well, one of the top FCS teams, no question about it, in that championship game in the spring. But according to ESPN, the Rams are favored by 2.5.
Okay.
Rams got to look at that, right? And you got to not feel great, even though we're saying all the right things. Adazio's saying all the right things. At the end of the day, the Rams, you know, they want to fill that stadium. They want to build some excitement around this program. Isn't the pressure on this team Friday night?
Oh, there is. There's no question about it. And the pressure comes from, I think, having not been able to showcase really anything last year. There are a few teams in the country that were a bit harder than Colorado State when it came to losing games. So I don't think there's a lot of people that know what Colorado State has. We just haven't seen anything with any level of consistency, because they weren't able to get any traction last year with so many games lost. So I think that line, a close line, or I heard the same things that you did, that maybe South Dakota State was favored in some books, and I was like, are you serious? But I think that's one. You know what you're getting with South Dakota State. You're getting a championship-level program that learned how to win last year. I mean, you look at who they mowed through. Northern Iowa, that's a heck of a FCS football program. Youngstown State, Southern Illinois, and then you go through the playoffs, you knock off Holy Cross, Southern Illinois, Delaware, and then you take on Sam Houston State and barely lose in the a national championship game. And they're still fresh off of that. Remember, they played in the spring, so these guys are fresh. They're ready to roll. They feel like they just had all those game reps, got a few months to get healthy, and now they're right back at it. And you got a Colorado State team that's very, very new, except for that front seven, which is as good as you're going to find in the Mountain West. I think the experts are looking at this and seeing a team that knows how to win, built that chemistry last year, and a team that is still trying to figure out how they work together at games, because we didn't see it last year.
Yeah, boy, it's going to be a lot of fun Friday night. That's going to be a big one. Our Bears here, I know we're not talking about West, but Bears Buffs, I mean, the entire state's going to be going crazy, and I'm excited. It's going to be a busy Friday night.
Oh, it's going to be a heck of a weekend, and you're right, that UNC Bears game, so much intrigue there with the McCaffreys leading the charge, and you know, I would love nothing more for them to go into Boulder and give them a run, a la, you know, what has happened a few times. What was that? Was it Cal Poly or Montana State went in there and gave the Buffs a run? So I'd love for the Bears to go in there and make that one really close and maybe make the folks up there squirm just a little bit, because you know McCaffrey is a hero here on the front range, and I'd love nothing more than to see him really succeed in this new venture.
Boy, and if they keep it close, or dare I say, somehow hang in there, pull off a crazy upset.
Oh, baby.
It's going to go crazy around here, I'll tell you that. It's going to be absolutely nuts. But, Jesse, I'm looking forward to these every single week. Man, I love talking Mountain West football with you, and it's going to be a busy weekend, so we'll look forward to recapping everything and previewing the weekend ahead, too, next week.
No, I always appreciate the invite, my man, and have a great weekend up there to the good folks of Northern Colorado, one of the best places in America.
I love it, my friend. Jesse Kurtz, we'll talk to you next week.
Sounds great.
All right, that's Jesse Kurtz of the Mountain West Network. And, I was wrong. I was wrong, okay? Colfax, I shouldn't rely on Twitter. I shouldn't rely on fans. But they said the Rams were dogs in this game, unless it didn't change in the span of a day from 2-point dogs to 2-point favorites. That's a 4-point swing in my book, Colfax. So I don't think that happened. So somebody out there was wrong. You got bad information. 10 minutes until the top of the hour. We'll wrap up the show on the other side. It's the whole show powered by PDC and Energy, live from the Auto Collision Specialist Studios.
Northern Colorado's voice and the leader in prep sports is 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.